You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Matthew chapter 22, let's start in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Now, hey, if you were tuned in during the first service this morning, and I hope you were, Pastor Andrew spoke on the topic of loving God with all of your heart. And it was a great message. It was a wonderful teaching on our need to love God with passion and with devotion and with all we have. But during this service, we're going to focus our attention on the final phrase here of Jesus' instruction, that we're to love God with all of our mind. Now, oftentimes when we study a passage, especially here on Sunday morning, we dive deep into a single passage and we mine that passage for all that's there. It's sort of like visiting a city and walking into one single museum in that city and then spending hours just going from display to display, seeing what's in that single building. Well, today we're going to do just the opposite. We're going to visit a city like New York City, and we're going to go to the top of the Empire State Building, and then from 1,450 feet up in the air, we're going to look at that city. This morning, we're going to look at six ways the New Testament teaches us to love God with all of our heart. Each of these six exhortations, they help us learn a different way that we need to bring our minds into submission to the will of God. In biblical teaching, there's always a close relationship between obedience and between love. Jesus said in John 14, 15, he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And so to love God with all of our minds is to bring our minds into a place of obedience to the Lord. So this morning, we're going to see how the New Testament writers encourage us to do just that. Now, let me warn you from the outset. When you look at a large city from way up high, it's easy to get overwhelmed by the vast development that you really don't see any particular thing with your eyes. It's easy to see everything and yet see nothing. And so I'm going to warn you in advance this morning that we're going to cover a lot of ground, and it's going to be easy for you as you peer from high above to just get maybe overwhelmed. But here's what I want you to do today. As we look at these six commands or these six instructions from the New Testament, I want you to ask yourself, is there maybe one or two here that the Lord wants me to apply to my life right now, today? I think this will help you see not just the forest, but also see the trees. To not just see the city in all its vast expanse, but to see a particular building that you might want to visit. And so with this in mind, no pun intended. Well, actually, pun was intended and none of you got it. With this in mind, let's see where we're going. There are six ways to love God with all of our minds that we see in the New Testament. Number one is we are to renew our minds. Number two, we are to humble our minds. Third, we're to look forward with our mind. Fourth, we're to focus our mind above. Fifth, we're to think soberly with our mind. And then last, we need to protect our mind. So first, we need to renew our minds. Romans 12, verse 2, a verse you can probably quote, is one of the most important verses in the Bible when it comes to knowing how God changes our lives into ways that please Him. How does it happen? Well, let's look at Romans 12:2. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Renewing our mind is a two-step process. It starts in sort of an ugly place. It starts when we realize that we have to stop thinking with the flow of the world. When we have to realize that much of the way we think is the way the world thinks, and this is often contrary to what pleases God. Guys, from our birth, we're influenced to think the way the world thinks, to value what the world values, to seek after what the world pursues, whether it's TV shows or commercials or radio ads or billboards or even our classes at school, and sadly, sometimes even what our parents teach us. Those thoughts are contrary or even in opposition to the way that God desires for us to think. And so I have to first realize that my thinking, my current way of thinking, might not be pleasing to God. Many of the values and the priorities that I've forged into my life are worldly ways of thinking, not godly ways of thought. After I do that, I've got to do a second thing, and that's when I've got to begin to transform my mind. In other words, I have to actively begin to change the way I think. I have to work to get my thoughts and my thinking in line with the Word of God. I've got to realign my priorities. I've got to begin to value what God values. See, I've got to begin to see my life through the prism of Scripture. Have you learned to do that? Guys, this is a process that's going to take time. If I'm going to learn how God thinks, in other words, if I'm going to learn His Word, I've got to have a steady diet of Scripture each Sunday morning, each Monday morning, each Tuesday morning. See, when we come in here on Sundays, this is what we're doing. We're doing a lot more than just learning facts and stories. Have you come to realize that yet? It's not about just learning the storyline of the Scriptures. It's learning what matters to God. You know, you're learning His priorities. This morning, we're learning His priorities. We're going to look at how does God think? How does God want me to think? And this has been especially true as we've been going through the Gospels. Man, as we've gone through Luke, each week we're getting a strong dose of the thoughts and the actions of Jesus. God in the flesh. And we're watching the way He thinks. We're watching what He values. But after we do that, we have to do one more thing. We have to take what we learn and allow it to affect our own thought processes. And our own thought processes have to change. This is the actual renewing of our mind. This is the transformation that God wants to take place. And notice what happens when we do that, when we begin to think and process life the way God does. Look at what Paul says. You will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, you'll just begin to live out the will of God in your life. Now, how many times have you thought this way? Man, I got to pray. I got to seek God's will. I got to find it. I know it's out there. I've got to search it out. I've got to find it. Guys, I'm afraid that's not how it works. See, I think God's will is something that we just begin to live out when what? When we begin to align our thinking with God's thinking. When we begin to prioritize our lives with those things that God desires. And so first, I've got to renew my mind. But second, we need to humble our mind. Over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, we read these very sobering words. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. One of the first things that must change if I'm going to love God with my mind, is I've got to break my pride and my selfishness. And notice that Paul mentions two enemies of this. He mentions first, selfish ambition. This is wanting what's best for me. And we're good at that, aren't we? We're good at knowing what's best for me. See, and this usually comes at the expense of everyone else. If I'm going to get what I want, and if I'm going to get what I want when I want it, then I may have to trample over you in order to get it. And the message is very clear, that you're not as important as I am. Guys, that's what selfish ambition is. It's wanting something at the expense of everybody else. The second enemy he mentions here is conceit. This is just simply thinking I'm the best. The Greek word actually could be translated here, self-esteem. And that's the buzzword of modern psychology today. You see, it's the idea that if you got to think highly of yourself if you're going to live a healthy life. I mean, you got to think you are really good and you are important. You know, Paul argues just the opposite. He says our problem is not that we think too much of that we think too little of ourselves, is that we think way too much of ourselves. That we think way too high of ourselves. Paul advocates that if we want to live a spiritually healthy life, then we've got to do just the opposite and esteem others as better than ourselves. His thinking goes like this, and it is inspired by the Holy Spirit, that we are far better off from a mental health standpoint. In other words, from how we think, what we think about ourselves, we're far better off there if we stop thinking that we're the smartest person in the room and the most needy person in the room and the most important person in the room. And instead we turn and we look at others and say, I need to elevate them. I need to look at their worth. And I need to even esteem their worth as more important than my worth. Because I know that this is radical thinking for today. And yet, it is such an important aspect when it comes to loving God with my mind. Why? Because the New Testament tells us God hates pride. And yet he loves it when we consider the needs of others. And if we're going to love him with all of our mind, then we have to value and elevate others above ourselves. Think about Jesus dying on the cross for just a moment. Who was the focal point of his attention when he was suffering and when he was dying, when he was at the lowest point in his life, when he needed and was suffering the most? The focal point of his life was a thief that was dying next to him, a convicted thief that was dying right beside him, and his weeping mother who was kneeling in front of him. That's the heart of God. When we place the needs of others ahead of our own, we want to love God with our mind. How are we going to do it? Well, we got to lessen our thoughts about ourselves and elevate our thoughts and our needs towards other people. And I got to tell you, that is not easy to do. The third way that we can love God with all of our minds is to get our minds to look forward and not backwards. I've got to keep pressing forward with my thoughts to what lies ahead rather than to what's behind me, to those things that God wants to accomplish in my life. I can so easily get bogged down in my failures of the past and, believe it or not, in my victories of the past. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 is an important verse here. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. See, we need to have this mind. What mind is he talking about? One that is focused on the future. One huge enemy of spiritual growth that many of us struggle with is getting bogged down in the past. A lot of you this morning are still looking this way with one eye and you're looking backwards with the other eye. I see this all the time in Christian circles, guys. People are always thinking about what God did in their life when they were a teenager. Or what God did 5 years ago. Man, God was working in a really special way. Man, I was on fire for God then. And my question to you is, then what happened? Why is God not working in your life that way today? Why are you not on fire today? Why are we living in the spiritual victories of 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago? I don't know about you, but I want to be a person who's excited about what God is doing today. I want to be excited about what God is doing in this room, in the life of His people, right at this moment. Past victories are just that, guys. They're past victories. And God, He's all about the future. And this is where our minds need to be focused. But others here today are trapped in the past because of previous failures. They just can't move on spiritually because of a bad decision that they made 10 years ago. And yes, that decision may have come with a heavy cost. You may have lost the respect of your family. Maybe you lost the ministry that at the time was so valuable to you. Maybe you even lost your way spiritually and you've been wandering ever since. But when are you going to let go and get on with your life? Guys, God's forgiveness is all about letting go of our failures and moving on. And He can't do new things in our life until we let go of the old failures. Do you understand that? God can't keep moving. He can't keep pushing you on. As long as you're dragging that stuff along with you, that guilt, that shame, at some point you've got to accept God's forgiveness and move on. Now, hey, sure, there are occasions when we need to spend time in the spiritual penalty box. You know how in hockey I love the penalty box? You know, you have to get off the ice and there you sit alone in this little box, you know, secluded. And everybody's looking at you and, humiliating you. You know what? Hey, there are times when we have to spend time in the spiritual penalty box. I understand that. We need time to really understand and experience repentance. We need time to bear fruits of repentance in our lives. But for many of us, guys, this time is way past. It's time to get up. It's time to move on. And so we need to let go of the past, both the wins and the losses. Paul says here that he has learned that he has to press on. The implication is that leaving the past behind is difficult. It's not easy. Pressing on is hard work. But if we're going to love God with all of our minds must be in a place where God can continue to use us. And Paul says that takes some maturity, and it does. And it takes some work, and it does. It takes pressing on. It takes leaving the victories or the failures. I have to leave them behind because the only thing that I can change today is my future. Do you get that? The only thing that you can change today is your future. You may have blown it with your children in the past. Well, if you have, then start today working to heal those relationships. You may have squandered a ministry in the past that you were so excited about. But guys, you can start today building a new ministry, one that God wants to use you on tomorrow and the next day and in the days ahead. But you've got to allow yourself to grow and to move on. You may have been on fire when you were 15 years old for the Lord. And ever since then, you've sort of been just a fizzle. Guys, you need to seek that fire again. You need to seek the fire of the Holy Spirit again, because He wants to ignite that in your life if you'll just press ahead, if you'll look to the future. And I've got to tell you that one of the most important things when it comes to loving God with our mind is keeping our eyes focused ahead to what God wants to do new. God is not a God of old. He is a God of newness. He's a God of freshness. The fourth thing we need to do is to focus our minds on the right things, on heavenly things, on things above, not on things that are just consumed here in the world. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, this is certainly a similar idea to renewing our minds, but it's slightly different in that it's more of a moment-by-moment activity. Whereas renewing your mind, it takes lots of time, a long time, to change the way I think. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul is talking about some big changes that I can make today. He's exhorting us to put off some of those sinful, ugly habits that we're so attached to, and then to put on some new things, some healthy, godly habits that we can do immediately. He's talking about setting our mind on the right set of choices that we have before us today. See, a lot of times we make the wrong choice because the only options that we consider are the bad choices that we've sort of gotten used to in our lives. Have you realized that? See, all of our lives we've formed certain habits that limit the way we see our choices today. It's Friday night, and we start considering, what are we going to do tonight? It's the weekend. And for many of us, the problem is the only options that we think of on Friday nights are things that are not good. Because for all of our lives, every Friday night, we've gone out and we've partied and we've had fun and we've just did all kinds of things that weren't good for us. And so now we've come to the Lord, and Friday night hits, and we start considering our options. And those are the only ones we can see. See, God wants us to learn a new set of options, a new set of choices. And this is what we have to do. We have to set our mind or focus our mind on some new things, some godly things that maybe to this point in our life we really haven't considered. We have to put off those old choices, and we have to give ourselves a new set of options. And this is an act of the will. This is a conscious action that, hey, today I'm going to do things differently. I'm going to choose from a new set of answers. I'm going to consider the world in a whole different way than I've been approaching it. I'm going to force my mind to look in a different direction. Figuratively speaking, instead of looking around for something to do, I'm going to look up for something new. I'm going to begin to look to things above. Remember what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. I'll put it up on the board here. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. See, these are the pastimes of the world, eating and drinking. But of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, for many of us here today, eating and drinking are the only choices that we have for much of our lives. That's all we think about. In other words, our lives center around fun and food. In other words, our lives center around satisfying our flesh, making our flesh happy. And oftentimes, these are the only choices that I see because this has been my outlook for so long. And yet there's a whole world, a heavenly world of choices that revolve around righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's a whole world of choices that can be so much more fulfilling. It's just, we never considered them. We've never really even thought about them. If I want to love God with all my mind, I have to focus my mind on new things, on things above, things that will bring me to a place of righteousness. You know what that is, don't you? It's feeling right with God. A place of peace. In other words, a place where tomorrow morning I won't feel guilty about the choices I've made. And a place of joy. In other words, tomorrow and the next day, I won't look back with regret on the choices that I've made. See, this is what God wants to add to our lives. Food and drink, fun and entertainment. They'll bring you temporary excitement, but they'll bring you very little righteousness and peace and joy. You know, if you read the rest of Colossians chapter 3, and obviously we don't have time this morning, you would find what these other choices involve. They involve things like loving others. In other words, have you thought about on Friday night, hey, maybe I ought to see if there's somebody that I love that I can reach out to. Or being kind to somebody. Or extending forgiveness to somebody. That's a new thought for a lot of people. Or how about bearing with somebody today that really bugs you? That's a new activity. Or how about investing time in worship? Or investing time in Bible study? Just spending time with you and God. That would be a different Friday night experience for many of us. See, these are the new activities, the new choices that need to become the focus of my mind if I'm going to love God with all of my mind. Now, next, I need to think soundly with my mind. Or simply put, I need to make decisions with my mind, not with my emotions. And far too many people make decisions in their life primarily with their emotions. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear," that's an emotion, "but He's given us power of love and of a sound mind." See, fear is an emotion, like guilt, like anger, like happiness. And all of these can dominate the way we think about things. They can dictate how we make decisions. And trust me, when I say that most of these are a very bad way to make decisions in your life, they're a very bad criteria. Why did God give us emotions? He gave us emotions because He knew that we needed to feel things in this life. That would become an important part of our Christian walk, would be able to feel things. See, He wanted us to be able to show compassion in the presence of a hurting friend. Think about that. What if you couldn't do that? What if one of your friends comes in, you know, from the death of a loved one, and you sit down with them sort of like Spock? You know, "Oh, that's terrible that happened to you. Oh, too bad. What should we do next?" You know, what if we responded to people like that? And yet God gives us emotions so that when that hurting friend comes in, we can have compassion on them. So that we can experience the joy of the birth of a new child. So that we can be angry when we need to be angry, when helpless people are being manipulated or taken advantage of. God wants us to be angry in those moments. But He doesn't want us to make the daily decisions of our lives based upon the particular emotion that we're feeling at that moment. Most of these emotions will lead me down the wrong path. They'll cause me to make the wrong choice. It's like the mother who comes home and she feels guilty because she had to work late and she's missed her child's activity at school. And so she decides that night, "Well, I'm just going to let them skip their homework and watch TV tonight so that they'll love me." Because it's a terrible choice. Or the father who fears his child might strike out or might experience failure in a particular activity. So he says, "Wait, you know, I'm just not going to encourage my child to be involved in these things." Guys, guilt and fear, which are two very common emotions for most of us, are the worst decision makers that we can have in our lives. Both will cause us to make terrible choices. Again, emotions help us to experience life, but they're not to be the motivators when it comes to us making life choices. We've got to make decisions with a sound mind. The Greek word here for sound mind, it carries with it the idea of self-control or moderation. And now these are great decision makers. Self-control, moderation. See, self-control means that I pretty much leave my emotions out of it, that I've got them under control. I may still feel a certain way, but they're not driving me. I've got control of myself. So I'm thinking almost without emotion. Yes, they have a small part to play, but mostly I look at the decision I have to make objectively. What's best given the truth that I know about my choices here? The second, the idea of moderation. This too is sort of the opposite of emotions. Moderation implies limits to what I will let myself feel. And see, a lot of us have never done that. Hey, you got to put some limits on how you feel. Oh, but I wake up so sad. Or, oh, sometimes I just get so happy, man, I just go crazy. Well, maybe you need to stop going crazy. Maybe you need to look around and say, you know what? Yeah, I'm sad, but I'm going to force myself. This is the limit to where I'm going. I'm going to focus my mind on something else. See, moderation implies limits of how I feel. Moderation allows me to set boundaries with which I will live. In other words, I'll make my decisions based upon principle. Making decisions with a sound mind means that I will control the emotions within that moment. I will look at what I know to be true, what I know to be factual, what I know to be biblical. I will set those priorities and I will make choices in my life based upon those things. Hey, so mom, you feel guilty about missing your child's function. Go ahead and make them, look at me. Go ahead and make them do that homework anyway. I'm a principal. I'm telling you, that's going to be the best choice and decision for them. Hey, dad, you're worried about your child failing? Let them fail. They're going to learn a lot more through that failure than sitting around doing nothing, I promise you. You don't learn much from video games. You don't learn much from TV. But you learn a lot when you fail. Hey, making choices and decisions with a sound mind will help me to love God with all my mind, and it'll help me to make choices that honor Him. Now, the sixth and final thing I need to do is I need to protect my mind. And how do I protect my mind? And what am I protecting my mind from? Guys, these are great questions, and they're ones that need to be answered if we're going to love God with all of our mind. Let me answer the second question first. What am I protecting my mind from? Well, I'm protecting my mind from images that would corrupt my thinking. This would include pornography. This would include violent images that would only cause me to hunger more violent images. This would include reading trash novels that create within my imagination lustful thoughts, discontented thoughts. This would involve anything or avoiding anything with my eyes that would flood my mind with trash. Remember, and Andrew touched on this morning, I thought it was really good. Your eyes are the gateway to your mind. We talked about this on Thursday night, didn't we, men? They're the gateway. They control what comes in and what stays out. We've got to learn to monitor what our eyes gaze upon. We've got to learn to look away. We've got to learn to turn it off. We've got to learn to say, hey, that's not good for me to look at. Remember, your eyes are the gateway. Close them. Close them off to what you don't need in your mind. Second, I need to protect my mind from wandering thoughts that take me to places I don't need to go. Places that are negative. Places that are unhealthy, places that make me sad or depressed. This means not allowing things into my imagination or to rumble through my imaginations that are not wholesome. See, when I allow lustful thoughts to go uninterrupted, or when I allow worrisome thoughts just to continue, or when I allow paranoid thoughts to just fester and progress in my mind, Or when I allow thoughts of discontentment to take root in my life and to begin to grow. See, all of these things are harmful thoughts, and I've got to put a stop to them. All of these kinds of things put my mind in a place that will hurt my love for God, my faith in God. I've got to protect my mind from these things. So, how do I protect my mind? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 is a great verse. There Peter says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Peter tells us to gird up the loins of our mind. The phrase here, to gird up the loins of your mind, would be similar to sayings that we would use today, like, you got to strap up your bootstraps or pull up your bootstraps, or you got to roll up your sleeves, man. The idea is you've got to get ready for action. Here's the thought. Here's what Peter's trying to say. You've got to be proactive when it comes to protecting your mind. You can't take a passive approach. You've got to realize that there is a battle going on for your mind. There's a battle between the things of God and the things of the world, between what God desires and what Satan desires. There is a battle going on, and you've got to fight to keep your mind in a godly place. We're going to have to fight selfish thoughts. We're going to have to fight off lustful thoughts. We've got to fight off doubts that creep into our mind. You know, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15, he talks about bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Do you do that? You know, when that ugly thought flies into your mind and you think, where did that come from? Do you then begin to ponder it and go, wow, hadn't thought about that in a long time. Ooh, sort of missed that thought. Do you do that? Or when that ugly thought comes into your mind, do you go, wait a minute, I'm not going there. I'm going to bring that thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, no, I'm not going there. I'm staying obedient to the Lord. That's what that verse is talking about. We must realize that all of these thoughts are dangerous. They're dangerous because they're a threat to our spiritual growth. See, sometimes we say, well, it's just my thoughts. It's just what I'm thinking. I'm not doing it. Not now, not yet, but you will. Guys, thoughts are dangerous things because they lead us away from the presence of God. They lead us away from the blessings of God. And so if we're going to protect our thoughts, if we're going to love God with all of our minds, we've got to protect the way we think. So, if we're going to love God with all of our mind, then we got to renew our mind. We've got to learn to think the way God thinks. We got to humble our mind. We've got to consider others as more important than ourselves. We got to look forward with our mind. We got to let go of the past, the victories and the failures. We got to focus our mind above. In other words, we got to focus on things that will bring us righteousness, peace, and joy to our lives. We've got to get our mind off the things just of the flesh. And then we've got to think soundly with our minds. We've got to begin making decisions with principles, not with emotions. And lastly, we've got to protect our minds. You've got to put a guard on what you let go in, both with your eyes and by capturing those thoughts that don't need to be there. And so, guys, I hope and encourage you to, I know we've talked about a lot, but maybe take one or two of these things this week and say, okay, God, that's going to become my focus today. I'm going to focus this week on protecting my mind. I'm going to focus this week on humbling myself because I've been proud. I've been arrogant at work. Hey, do it. Let God make those changes little by little to get your mind into a place where you can love Him with everything that's within your mind. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor James Chapman. If you enjoy the message, you can access more Pastor James' teaching ministry by visiting calvarycsm.com.